Thanks to Toby for the update. I am a Toby Altizer guy. We are a Toby Altizer show.
We're Toby Show.
We're Darius Dameron and Ryan Clary guys as well. A couple of hard workers behind the scenes here on The Fan making this show possible. The DMV's football team has a bright future. It is time for you to plan your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Kondorian Murrah. They will help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. I just thought about something. So Kondorian Murrah are bringing us with them to Philadelphia to sit in the crowd for the Eagles game. And yet they also do business for last will and testaments. Is this some kind of shell game
the
here?
Connection.
Where like, hey, you guys are going to sit with me at the link. With those crazy Eagles fans.
Come on up to Philly with us. Hope your affairs are in order. Come see us.
Slide some documents across the table and go, while we're at it, go ahead and sign a couple of these papers.
Write down in the names of your kids.
How's about it? We will be out and about on Friday, tomorrow. Field trip Friday continues. Stop number 2, a traveling road show. We're at Uptown Alley in Manassas, so please come say hello. We'll be on Sudley Road from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow right here on Grant and Danny. Caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. Congrats. You're winning tickets to see Disturbed, the Sickness 25th Anniversary Tour, Monday, March 17th, Cap One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For those tickets or event information, go to thefandc.com/events. But let's get to the hotline right now. Welcome onto the show, our buddy Danny Cannell. It's been too long. He joins us courtesy of BetOnline. Check out BetOnline for upgraded college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines. Danny, it is great to have you back on DC, buddy. How are you?
What's up, fellas? Great to be back on. Man, it's crazy. I always am blown away by how fast the college football season goes by. I mean, it feels like just a couple days ago we were previewing the season, you know, week 1 or 2. It's been a minute, but it flies by, man. Great to be on with you.
Always a pleasure. So I watched Oregon early, and I went, I don't know, man. You know, like, it just doesn't seem quite right. And, of course, they're the number one team in the country. That's why sports are great, college football especially. They're deserving of it. I love that game against Ohio State. But just kind of give me your thoughts on them and how for real is this? How much of a contender are they really?
For sure. And as somebody who had picked them to win the national championship before the season started and Dylan Gabriel to win the Heisman, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, right.
Am I going to look like a fool when this thing is all done? I'll say this, because they clearly, like you said, they're deserving of number one. That's why they're ranked number one. Their win against Ohio State might have been one of the more impressive wins of the season. But, man, for this is a fourth team we've seen number one this season. It's been sort of a revolving door, which we've never seen. Like, I still feel good about my pick, but I'm not, like, doubling down or anything, like pounding the table being like, yeah, I told you guys Oregon was going to be good. Because, like, I think everybody, there's about five teams at the top that I think are really good. I don't think anybody is unbeatable. I don't think it's like years where we see a Michigan run the table like last year or an Alabama team with, you know, 15 players going to be drafted that looks like the clear-cut number one is just going to run through everybody. I think you'll see other teams, maybe even two other teams, get back to that number one spot before it's all said and done. And if we have that rematch again of Oregon-Ohio State, I might switch my pick on a neutral field depending on kind of how both those teams develop towards the Big Ten championship game. I think it's awesome, but I love what Dan Lanning has done with the Ducks. The other thing, too, is the expectation was so high. We wanted them to be flawless from the get-go. Got to remember, in today's world, with all the new players, a guy like Dylan Gabriel, new to the system, it's going to take some time for them to gain some continuity. Along the offensive line, they've gotten consistently better. That's the thing I've been most impressed is, yes, they started off a little bit rocky, but they've gotten better and better every week, which is really one of the best parts about the game.
I'm going to skip past number 2, Georgia, after they bullied Texas, and go to number 3, Penn State, who I'm more interested and curious in. They are 6-0. They had that one near hiccup against Bowling Green, and then they really struggled early with USC, but came back to win going back a week and a half ago. But otherwise, they've kind of dominated everyone, and their defense is awesome. Road ahead, Wisconsin, then a top 5 matchup with Ohio State. I don't really see another real problem area for them necessarily. What's it look like for Penn State trying to run the table and stay in the top 3?
So, I love everything I've seen from Penn State so far. I think we're about to find out a lot about them in the next 2 weeks, but don't skip ahead to Ohio State. And that's why I think this weekend's matchup in Madison against Wisconsin is kind of a tricky spot for them. Like Wisconsin, a lot of people wrote off, right? Alabama goes up to Madison, dominates them, wins by 3 touchdowns. Then the following week, they blow a 21-point lead against USC. They lose that game. But quietly, they have been dominating their schedule. And I know it hasn't been the best opponents going against the likes of Northwestern, you know, Purdue, some of the bottom dwellers in the Big Ten. But, like, they're dominating them. It's not like they're just winning. Their defense has been awesome. So I think this is a really good test for Penn State. I think that's something the line tells you as well. It's only a touchdown. I think, you know, historically you might think, wow, this situation, Penn State should be a, you know, at least a 2-touchdown favorite. And I love the progression of Drew Aller. I thought the game against USC was huge for him to take that. Who had over 200 yards receiving. But I'm kind of like, I want to see him continue to develop. And he's head in the right direction. But this is going to be a really hostile environment for him to step into. Going to Madison, I think it's going to be a little bit different than going to the L.A. Coliseum, where even Drew Aller said it felt like a home game with all the Penn State fans that were there.
Danny Cannell with us here on G&D. I want to ask you about Miami. Not all their fault, because, you know, when you make your schedule, you don't know that Florida State's going to be just atrocious or that Florida's going to be down. But that schedule is just wet tissue paper soft for them. But they're doing what they're supposed to do. They're winning all their games, and Cam Ward's legit. How much of a contender are they?
Oh, they're the real deal because of that player, yeah. Right? I mean, Cam Ward is that guy. He's just that dude who can, you know, I was pounding the table for Florida State to go after him because I thought he was the number one target in the transfer portal that could really transform a program and take them from maybe an average team to a good team and a good team to being great. And I think he's on a good team, and he's made the Miami Hurricanes great. Now, I get the flirtations with disaster against Cal, against Virginia Tech, and then even last week there was a little bit of a close game, but they found ways to win, right? They're the number one offense in the country. Indiana's right there with them, but because of Cam Ward, they're just electric. I think their defense is adequate and getting better. Think of the 2019 LSU team with Joe Burrow. Their defense is similar to that, like not great, but they can get stops when they need them. And that's their path, I think, is to have that type of run. Led by your offense, by a superstar Heisman Trophy candidate in Cam Ward, just like LSU was with Joe Burrow. The thing that's really interesting about this, you mentioned the schedule, they most likely will not play a top 25 team at all the entire season, which is crazy considering they play in the ACC. But Florida State's down, a couple other programs are down. It's like, well, that's nothing they can do. So if they run the table, they'll beat Clemson most likely in the ACC championship game. They're a lock. And even if they lose to Clemson, they're undefeated. I still think they get in the college football playoff. So I like the Hurricanes, especially because of their quarterback, who's a really special player.
Quick one on Clemson, you just mentioned. If they were to lose a second game, let's say it was they don't lose again before that, in the title game to Miami, would they still make the playoffs potentially or no?
I think so, but I'm not 100%. It depends on how that game looks.
Gotcha.
Like if they get run by Clemson or by Miami, I think they're done. But if they lose in a nail biter, so this is what's really interesting, this dynamic, because if they're 11-1 in the regular season and they lose in a nail biter, like we're going to punish them for playing a game that some teams don't even have to play in, because there's going to be other 10-2 and 11-1 teams that might get rewarded and get a pass to the playoff because they don't get a conference championship game. Does that make sense? Like, they won't have played that game. I think there has to be a reward for winning in the regular season. And then if you make your conference championship game, as long as you look the part, I think you've got to get that team in over a potential other team in your conference. Like, for example, SMU. If SMU is 11-1, Clemson's 11-1, but Clemson gets the nod to the ACC championship game but loses – how do you reward SMU just for not playing in the ACC championship game? That, to me, doesn't make any sense. So those type of dynamics are going to unfold when we start debating these teams at the end of the season. I would think that Clemson would be in because they were one of the best regular season teams. And then, of course, Miami would get the luxury of a bye, being the ACC champion. Clemson may have to go on the road somewhere and play somewhere tough for not winning it, but I think they would still be in.
You can see why we love Danny Cannell, who joins us courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated college football, playoff conference, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines. It's all available over at Bet Online. What about Notre Dame? They've got Navy this weekend. A lot of eyes are going to be on that game in the area here in Annapolis. I know they still have Army, who's a ranked team as well, coming up. I mean, it goes without saying they can't lose another game and get into the playoff, right?
No, they can't. And you know what bothers me is, you know, the Northern Illinois loss bothers me. It was a bad loss. Like, that one typically should be one that keeps you from the playoff, even if it's your only
loss.
That's
like disqualifying to you.
Yes, I think so. But with the expanded playoffs, we're going to go ahead and look at it from a new perspective. And they have taken care of business. They have won impressively. And who would have thought in a million years, because Notre Dame's schedule got picked apart, especially after that loss, it was like, well, what are they going to do to boost their resume? Florida State and USC were supposed to be those programs. Now you got USC under 500. Florida State's a one-win team, and it's like, well, now all of a sudden we turn our attention to these amazing stories for Army and Navy, who are both ranked and are both resume builders, which no one would have thought at the beginning of the season. I think this matchup really does heavily favor Notre Dame, and I love the story of Navy. I love the story of Army as well. I do think Army is slightly better. I trust them more to go toe-to-toe with Notre Dame. We saw Navy last year get beat 42-3 by Notre Dame, and that was a little bit sideways. I don't think it'll be that much of a blowout. I think Navy's a better team, but this is really where you start seeing the separation in the trenches on the offensive and defensive lines, and where usually you minimize that gap is with the scheme that you run, which is very creative. They've always run option, and they throw wrinkled in some more pass. But Navy sees this every year with playing the academy. So I think they're more equipped than most to handle it, which is, I think, what you'll see transpire in the game against Notre Dame,
Danny,
against Navy.
You've touched on here throughout. Everybody gets a turn at number one, apparently. It's a game of musical chairs. Yeah. Texas was, and then they caught those hands from Georgia. That was a beatdown. Where do they go from here?
Texas, so they have Vanderbilt, which has been the trap game of all trap games. Remember, after Alabama beat Georgia, they went to Nashville the following week and lost outright to Vanderbilt. So that was like a wake-up call for the ages. I don't think that lightning strikes again, but what's very fascinating is the quarterback situation that's unfolding. Quinn Ewers, who I thought at one time was the best quarterback in all of college football, he's been a little bit hindered by this oblique injury that caused him to miss 2.5 games. I thought he struggled, didn't play great against Oklahoma. Sark, his coach, Steve Sarkisian, benched him against Georgia, which I thought was very odd considering he's won at Alabama. He's won at Georgia. He's been in big games. He'd had bad games before, and he never benched him. I wonder if there's something going on with his health. And I think they better be in for a physical game against Vanderbilt, because that's the one thing that's been probably more surprising, maybe even than Diego Pavia, their transfer quarterback, who's been awesome, is how physical they've been. They better not be feeling sorry for themselves, licking their wounds after Georgia. They better be ready for a fist fight, because that's what they're going to get from Vanderbilt, which is a phrase I never thought I would utter in my 15 years of covering college football, is that you're playing Vanderbilt, you better be ready for a fist fight, but that's exactly what they're going to get.
Danny, I do not know what your take is on this, so I'm excited to ask this. But I will say, you and I have been in lockstep, I think mostly on Colorado. We're two guys that wouldn't be on Deion Sanders' Christmas card list, probably. But I do think Travis Hunter should be the Heisman Trophy winner. I go back to my childhood and Charles Woodson and not having seen anything like this. And as great as Ashton Gentry is, I wasn't impressed by Gabriel early in the year. I know Cam Ward maybe is the favorite in a lot of places now, which makes some sense. But we don't see something like what Hunter's doing. If he stays healthy, continues to make the impact he is on both sides of the ball, there's a feeling to me of the Heisman being synonymous with, like, who was the face of college football? Who was the best player that year? And nobody can do what this guy can do. It's amazing. What do you think about that?
It is. First, I'll give you my take on Colorado, because last year I took so much heat from Colorado fans, and really Colorado had a bunch of bandwagon fans on X who really jumped on me. I thought last year they were all smoke and mirrors. I thought they weren't a good football team, and we just hyped them up because they were a ratings bonanza and turned out to be right. This year I kind of went in saying, I don't know what we're going to get. I think they're a good team in the Big 12. Like, I think they're just a good football team. I don't know if they're great, but I think they're a good football team. Part of that is Shedeur Sanders, Deion's son. I think he's playing quarterback better than anybody in the country. He's keeping his team competitive despite a bad offensive line. The other reason is they have the best player in the country, to your point. Travis Hunter can make the case that he's the best receiver. I think he is the best cover corner. And, like, And to your point, we have not seen this. Yes, we've seen other two-way players, guys like Charles Woodson, who played sparingly on both sides of the ball. We saw Champ Bailey at Georgia do it sparingly. We saw Chris Gamble at Ohio State do it sparingly. We have never seen a guy average 115 snaps a game on both sides of the ball and really be the best receiver and the best corner all at the same time. And one thing that goes completely unchecked and undiscovered or untalked about, he has to, like, think about the aspect of just physically how impressive that is. I don't think anybody understands the mental workload that he has. Because of all those historical figures, they had a little package of plays, maybe 5 to 8 plays, run a post, run a go route. Here's a special play designed for you. Travis Hunter has the whole offense at his disposal, and Shedeur Sanders can call any route for him in the playbook. Like, they don't have to adapt to Travis Hunter. He's a wide receiver playing every play. It is phenomenal what he's doing. I think he should be the Heisman Trophy winner, but I'm starting to get worried about him because he's getting banged up, right? He came out of a game a couple weeks ago. Well, actually, the last 2 games in a row, he's left early due to a nagging shoulder injury. So he's got to keep up this thing that makes him special if he does. And I do think they have to get to 8 wins, which I don't think is crazy, although I do think they have a little bit of a tricky matchup this weekend against a resurgent Cincinnati team. But I'm with you. If he keeps having some highlight plays on both sides of the ball, keeps up averaging over 100 snaps, and Colorado gets to 8 wins, I'm a Heisman voter. I would have no problem voting him for the Heisman Trophy.
Speaking of a couple Heisman Trophy winners, what have you seen up a level from Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams? You know, Daniels really hitting the ground running, no pun intended. Williams, you know, maybe struggled for a couple weeks, but of late has been unbelievable. Anything surprise you? Anything kind of stand out to what they're doing at the next level?
I would say how fast Jaden Daniels has got off to the start. You know, like Caleb Williams has kind of got what you expect. Even last year with C.J. Stroud, who won Rookie of the Year, it took a little bit. Like, he was a little bit here and there. But when Jaden Daniels is averaging, 75% completion percentage and is putting up these numbers and not making the big mistakes from the start, that to me is so impressive. And I think clearly it's a testament to the teammates around him. I think it's a testament to Cliff Kingsbury and the system that he's put him in. But I think mostly it's a credit to Jaden Daniels, who, again, I don't think we talk about the mental workload and what a high IQ it takes to play the sport at that level, especially at quarterback. But Jaden Daniels went in there from day one with the right attitude. Like, I'm going to go to work. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't go that way to work. Like, when I was a rookie in the NFL, I didn't think I was going to be a starter, but I was kind of happy. I was like, man, I got money. I would go out and spend it. And, you know, you wanted to enjoy being a professional athlete. And I don't know, maybe it's guys now are more equipped to do it because they've got money in college. But it took me a while to mature and realize what it took to be a professional franchise NFL quarterback. Like, you got to be the first guy there, the last guy out. You got to do everything that it takes. Some guys get it right away. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 years, and some guys never get it. Probably took me about 4 or 5 years, and it was probably too late when I realized it. For him to get it from that early is unbelievable. And I can't, heap praises on him enough for how he's handled his success early and continues to develop. And Caleb Williams, I think we all knew he was in a great situation. I'm not surprised that he's going to make this race interesting coming down the stretch, because I think it's between, clearly the rookie of the year is between those two. I think Caleb's going to push him all the way through the season as he continues to progress.
And we're hoping Daniels gets to play Sunday. That is in question at this point, but the two of them on the field together would be a blast. Danny Cannell with us. A couple more moments here. We'll let him out on this. Former national champion and, of course, was the ACC Player of the Year and then had the NFL career he just referenced afterwards. Danny, what about the other rookie quarterbacks? Bo Nix. It was funny. I had not watched a lot of him. And then when I started digging in, almost all of his success is coming out of the pocket. Like, traditionally dropping back and throwing, it hasn't gone very well, but he's been okay overall. And then we've seen Drake May play now twice. What have you made of those guys?
So Bo Nix, I think, has given you exactly what I thought. And I took a lot of heat because I didn't think Bo Nix should have been a top 15 pick. Like, I thought he was a late first rounder, probably early second rounder. I thought the Broncos stretched for him. But that's the trend. Everybody overdrafts their quarterback. But I think it's that game manager, right? But he's doing with his legs, a little bit more conservative. I don't know if that, deep pass game threat will get there yet, like you've seen from Caleb and Jaden. Drake May, I think this is just going to be a wash. But what you've seen is a couple glimpses of what he can be on probably one of the worst offensive surrounding supporting cast in the NFL. I really liked Drake May. I actually liked him slightly better than Jaden Daniels. And I think, you know, in the end, I might be wrong about that. But I had those top three kind of grouped in a class of their own. I thought J.J. McCarthy, who got hurt, and Bo Nix were a step behind. I think ultimately he'll play his way into that. But, man, it's going to be a long year for him because he doesn't have much around him, which, again, one of those things we don't discuss enough is how important it is to have a good coordinator, good supporting cast, you know, good support system around you. But I really like what I've seen early from Drake May, just keeping his composure on a team that's not very good.
Danny, awesome as always, buddy. Pleasure to talk to you, man. Have fun this weekend.
You guys are awesome, man. Enjoy the games.
Thanks.
Sounds good. Danny Cannell joins us courtesy of BetOnline. Check out BetOnline for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football week 9 lines.
Love having Danny Cannell on the show to talk college ball. Next on G&D, he was just talking about Williams and Daniels, the fact that they'll be pushing one another all season long for the Rookie of the Year award. Is it an overreaction right now to say that the Bears, if given the chance again, would take Daniels? Or do you think they're content with the guy that they took? That's next on The Fan. Taking you up to 6:30, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Follow us, Twitter and Instagram, at Grant H. Paulson, at FunnyDanny4DR. Toby Altizer's got your updates. You'll hear from him again at the top of the hour. I think you're going to be disappointed in this.
Oh.
But I have made my final decision.
Uh-oh.
I will not be talked out of this. This is how I am going to spend the next couple weeks of my life. Darius, if you could please provide a drum roll for the listening audience to get this news and for Danny's heart to be broken.
I really don't know where this is going. I'm not kidding.
I'll take responses, immediate reactions from all three of you after you learn that I have thought long and hard about this.
Okay.
I've done soul searching, and this is final.
This is a good long one.
I will be rooting actively for the New York Yankees in the World Series. I will be pulling for the Yankees and not the Dodgers in the World Series. Apologize to all that are bothered by that. I think growing up is realizing that the enemy that you hated is mostly just because you were jealous. There was animosity there. Don't tell me the whole, well, the Yankees, they win all the time, 27 championships, 26 titles, 40 pennants. The Dodgers have been in the World Series and the NLCS since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I'm so tired of it. I'm so bored of it. Now, I love this matchup. I love Shohei. I love Aaron Judge. I love Juan Soto. And that is why I will be rooting for the New York Yankees, because I want my Juan, my happy little boy, my Juan Soto, the boy I helped to raise here in the nation's capital, I want him to win another title. And so, Danny, I'll be rooting for the Yankees. Back to you.
The feud, how it began, isn't important. Several homes ago, living with my parents when I was just a little kid, one of their neighbors who didn't live there for all that long, something happened with like a tree. Hey, this fell. Can you help chip in? Because mostly it's on your side of the fence. And he said no. And words were exchanged. The feud began. Well, that feud just went on. After a while, you forget why exactly the feud began. You know, you just hate them. That's what the Yankees are, my friend. It doesn't matter where it started.
But let's not pretend like the Dodgers are some little engine who could.
They're
please.
The Johnny-come-latelys. They have a history back in like the 1950s when they were the Trolley Dodgers in Brooklyn. They had a flare-up with Kirk Gibson limping around the bases, and that was awesome with Earl Hershiser going 60 innings without allowing a run. I was all over that Dodgers team. That was fun. That was cool. This overdog, I'm not getting to them. The Yankees are the pits. Their stupid fans believe the sport exists so that they can win World Series.
I love Juan Soto. You know who's immensely likable, too, is Garrett Cole. Really good dude.
Mm-hmm.
Clary, we got Cole on the bump in game one.
We, by the way, we. Big we with these guys.
No, I know. We do. We also have Aaron Judge, I mean, the home run king right now sitting here today. Juan Soto at one point was DC's own. Now he's the Yankees' own. I mean, this is going to be a great World Series, Grant. We're happy to have you in pinstripes. Let me know when I can give you some.
Is there a Yankees bar I need to go watch at? Oh. I'm a little nervous. Game two. We've got Rodon going against Yamamoto.
We.
No, I know. We do. We do have a really good... Actually, Colony Grill is a Yankees bar in Arlington. So
is it really, actually?
It is. It is a Yankees bar.
You ever been there? 20, 40, 60 times?
I've been there a lot. I've consumed a lot of Miller Lights at Colony Grill.
You ever see the movie 50 First Dates?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the...
A lot of bones in that. A lot of graveyard.
Step on over that one. Don't look down, hon. Anyway.
Shattered hearts in that restaurant.
Ryan walks in. They go, Ryan! Anyway, this whole Aaron Judge can't hit in the postseason thing, is that going to bother you guys at all when he strikes out a bunch this World Series? You'd be fine with it?
Not an issue.
Well, it's not an issue because Juan Soto just steps up. And he just saves the day.
Stanton's going to kill him. Stanton.
LCS Stanton is unbelievable, apparently.
Judge is ready to take over. But so I know I got Ryan right where I want him. He's with me at my side.
He's locked on Yankees.
Does that mean you are rooting for the Dodgers?
No.
You have to pick a team.
I will gently, casually go fine, begrudgingly accept the Dodgers championship if it means not another Yankee fan.
And so you're rooting for the Dodgers.
No, don't just put it that way.
Which of the two teams? You've got to vote for one. Danny just voted for the Dodgers. We voted for the Yankees. It's almost election time. We're voting. We're not rooting.
Ugh.
Who are you voting for? Lesser of two evils here.
Man, I'm so sorry, Danny. But I'm with you. We have to begrudgingly root for the Dodgers.
Oh, why is he sorry?
Well, I'm sorry because we both have to root for the Dodgers, which just makes no sense.
Okey-doke.
It's terrible.
I actually was an okie doke. I thought I was about number 3-1.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well done.
No, I just can't. I can't have a New York team.
You hate Juan Soto.
Yeah, I love Juan Soto.
Apparently not.
I can't have him winning a championship
with
another team.
You love him so much that you don't want him to have happiness.
Yes, actually, that makes plenty of sense. I'm gonna roll with that.
Actually, yeah. He gave me my title. I don't want him to win one with somebody else.
Yeah, why would I want that?
He's just going to be strutting down there, like talking to, like, you know, he's like, you know what I've always really wanted to do is play here for 15 years. This is my home now.
You know,
not
when he
in D.C., where I just talk to Grant and Danny in my second language, because I'm incredible.
When you're a young boy, growing up a sports fan, you hate some of the greatest to ever do it, because you're tired of seeing them, you're tired of hearing about them, you're tired of everyone talking about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize, I just need to grow up. I need to be a little more mature. And maturation and old age and fatherhood and having a mortgage and these types of things have allowed me to see that those pinstripes are not a sign of evil necessarily. This Yankees team, they never win, these poor guys. They've won once since the year 2000.
95 wins a year the last handful of seasons.
So what? Everyone wins 95 games.
No, they don't.
They have won they one championship since I was 11 years old in 2009. That's it. They haven't even played in a World Series in 15 years. They haven't even played in one. They are an underdog in a lot of ways.
The underdog.
Yeah.
The Yankees.
Why not? Nobody thought they'd be here. Nobody gave them a chance.
I don't know. I don't quite know how to answer that.
That's right, Garrett.
That's who you want to root for?
Old Spider Tack Y Banana over there.
I actually do. You know who him and Max Scherzer. You want to besmirch Max Scherzer?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I love Max Scherzer.
Good.
I don't love Garrett Cole though. You know my favorite thing about Garrett Cole? Him not pitching in game 7. That's my favorite Garrett Cole memory. It's when he just stalked around in the bullpen. Because AJ Hinch was like, well, the book says I have an analytics book, and the analytics book from the guys on high that are cheating said don't pitch him.
I'm sure AJ Hinch isn't a hell of a manager, by the way.
He's a great manager.
He didn't just get the Tigers to the brink of a World Series.
He definitely did.
Yeah, that guy stinks with his analytics book over there.
He pitched as much Garrett Cole for the Tigers as he did for the Astros in Game 7. It was delightful.
Go on, Soto. I will rest my case on just wanting good things for Super Juan, the generational talent, the one and only.
Is he going to have a monster World Series and get himself $600 million? I'm talking about a monster World Series.
Of course he is. He's going to hit 3 homers and bat .470. Of course he is. My favorite thing now is people who are going, "Who's going to get way more than the .440 the Nats offered him?" Yeah.
Yeah.
No kidding. You think he didn't take it because his hand was hurting that day? He didn't want to sign the paper. He's going to get 550 if it's a bad day. He's probably going to get $600 million.
I think I think it was Ken Rosenthal.
Some of us were telling you that back then.
Yeah, a few years ago. Ken Rosenthal, I think, said this. Hey, if I got the wrong attribution, I apologize. But he was doing one of those interviews where it's like everyone's, it's a close-up on two people's faces. And he was saying it's going to start, his AAY is going to start with a five. So when you start doing it for 12 years, well, that's $600 million. You just like that, you did it.
He thinks his APY is what?
His average per year is going to start with a five. AKA, it's going to be 50 million plus.
No, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Max Scherzer got $45 million like 3 years ago.
Well, on a two-year deal, but like you're going to do it for 12 years, 10 years?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's $600 million
hitter versus a pitcher.
I know.
The pitcher was in his 40s and Soto's in his 20s. What I've been thinking about is a 15-year deal at like around $50 million a year.
That's $750 million.
Yeah. So it's not going to be that. So then you scale it back, let's say, and he goes 12 at 50, and it's $600
million. $600 million.
That's my guess. Something around $600 million. He was never signing here.
No.
The Nats did the right thing.
Yes.
They saved their bacon, and they have a chance now because of that. Also, I love you, Juan Soto. Go Juan Soto.
Go Yankees!
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. You do guess, Grant. You do.
If it means Juan can win his ring, then absolutely.
He's got one. It's got red on it. It's got a big W right there.
If the Bears were on the clock today with all the intel they have, would they take Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams? Let's get into that next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Danny, it's going to drop in a second. Just give it a second.
What is going to drop? What are you talking about?
Here we go.
Oh, the music?
Oh, you didn't see that coming.
This is like Deadpool 2 when Cable and Deadpool are arguing about dubstep.
I get so psyched for this song. This is what they play in every intermission at Capital One Arena at Caps games. And right before the team skates back out on the ice, they start playing that, and I just Shazammed it and just now play it all the time, like in my car and stuff. That guy.
Has it replaced Party Till I'm Dead or
Party Till We Die?
Die
is still fire as well. Well, for whatever reason, Darius just doesn't want to make that part of his rotation, but that's fine. I mean, that's his part of the operation that I can't impede. He is an artist.
You know what actually happened? I think you may have been doing your hit with Derek Forrest, DC News Now. You stepped out of the room.
Defo.
Yeah. And Darius, what was the quote? You said, screw Grant forever. I'm never playing it. I hate him. Or I hate his guts.
Something like that.
Which one was it? I hate him or I hate his guts?
I think it was
one of the two, yeah.
Might have been both. Number one overall pick. Bears are on the clock right here, right now. They have all the intel, all the film, everything that's happened so far in the NFL. Who do they take first overall? Do you think they stick with Caleb Williams? Do they take Jaden Daniels? Because I think most Commanders fans feel like the jury has slammed the gavel. They have returned the verdict that Jaden Daniels is the better player and that the Bears and every other team picking first, if you read the draft, would take Daniels. And while Daniels has been the best player and I'm really excited about where he's headed, I don't actually think that's the case. I think it's very possible that the Bears are thrilled with the development and the progress of Caleb Williams. And I think they feel like they got their guy, potentially. And there's also this thought, maybe the way he's doing it might be more sustainable than how Jaden Daniels is doing it as a dual threat who's running around. I mean, there is one version of a guy like that in Lamar Jackson who's on his way to a third MVP award, but there aren't that many sustainable, excellent star players that do it the way Jaden has done it. Now, how he's operated in the pocket is really exciting and intriguing, and I think he's going to be great for a long time. But I don't subscribe to this thought that a lot of Commanders fans have, Danny, that the Bears made a mistake and or they wish secretly they could have Jaden Daniels. So I want to ask you, and then we'll open up the phones on this, 800-636-1067. If the Bears had a chance to touch a button today and get Daniels and give Williams to Washington, would they do it?
I don't think they would.
I don't either.
And I think I'm going to piss a lot of people off here as we have this conversation. Caleb Williams is still, to me, the thing. Like, he is Pat Mahomes 2.0 in terms of design. Whether he gets there, one person all time has been that good in Mahomes. When they start, they go to the AFC. When he starts, they go to the AFC Conference Championship game. I don't think that's what Williams is going to be. But that style is the thing that I crave. A little bit less, I scramble for 100 yards, which is awesome. But the play extension, the back-breaking, you think you've got him, then you don't. He turns in something so incredible, so spectacular, so, oh my God, you go, how do you defend it?
The Daniels play where he got out of the pocket and found McLaurin
exactly.
for 65.
Like that. And Williams has a career of those. Like,
I agree.
It's one a week.
But Jaden has had more of those crazy awesome plays, I'd say, than Daniels so far. Even though that's more... Did I just say
you flipped it. I know what you meant. Yeah.
I said Jaden has had more than Daniels. I'm sure that's the case. Daniels has had more of those than Williams, I think, to this point. Now, that doesn't mean that he will, over his career, have all of those moments and Williams will not. But I actually come in on this. I bet you everyone's happy with who they got. You know, it's like watching one of these reality TV shows where the couples end up getting together and it's like, would they have switched and they interviewed that person first in the pods? Would they? No, I think they got with the right person in the end. I mean, the Bears, you remember too. Caleb Williams is a year younger, 22, almost a full year younger exactly than Jaden Daniels, has less college experience. I would even make the case right now, and again, this could annoy somebody, I think the Patriots would take Drake May based on what they've seen. He's played two times. He's played really well. He's the youngest of all three of them. He's got huge upside. Now, who's had the best 7 weeks? Daniels.
Daniels has.
Big gap. Then Williams. I don't think that's close. Like, well, right now, yeah. Jaden Daniels is running away with the Rookie of the Year award, and he's the only of the guys that's in the MVP conversation. But I think that's a completely different thing than... It's not like any of them look bad. Like, the only guy I'd say I'd be a little bit worried about is if I was in Denver with Bo Nix. Because in structure, he has struggled a little bit. But I've been blown away with, when it's been good, what it looks like for Jaden Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's been good really the whole time, I guess I should say. But I've been blown away by Daniels. I've been impressed when it's been good with Caleb Williams. And I think through two games, Drake May looks awesome on a terrible team and a terrible offense. Like, to me, that you say that the Caleb Williams thing is your dream.
Mm-hmm.
The thing everyone always gets mad at me about, I was a big Drake May guy, and nobody forgets that, and I don't want you to. I love Drake May. I think he's going to be a baller. I love the guy. That's my dream. That's my proclivity. The 6'5" rocket-armed athlete quarterback, Josh Allen light, who's athletic, can run around and take huge shots and run power at quarterback and also just stand there and make big-time throws. So that's my preference, right? Doesn't mean I can't also think Jaden Daniels is awesome and what he's done has been incredible. But my guess is all three teams really like what they've got right now, even though Daniels has been the best of the bunch. And what you got to ask yourself is, what are we seeing that is ultra-sustainable? Probably all of it. But Daniels would be the one I would be the most nervous about based on just some of the metrics. Like, they haven't failed on one fourth down. The third down percentage is record high. It's going to come back down. You're going to be behind the chains more often. Can he continue to run at the rate he is without getting injured? Like, those types of things. And maybe the Bears would bring that up.
So in for Caleb Williams, his most recent three games, there were his three best games as a pro. Like, the trend line, right now it's Daniels' Rookie of the Year award to lose, obviously. And as we're sort of breaking this down here on Grant and Danny, on 106.7 The Fan, it's obvious that Daniels is in the early lead. But look at the I always talk about trend lines, right? When it comes to society, sports, everything else, 7 touchdowns, 1 pick, 230 yards a game, averaging around 9 yards per attempt, talking about Caleb Williams over his last 3 weeks. So overall numbers are good, nothing crazy, like 9 touchdowns, 5 pickles. Well, when you were 2-4 through three games in those numbers respectively, it didn't look as good. Now all of a sudden you look up and you go, damn, he's turned into a pretty good report card. You stay on that pace, which they got a chance to this weekend against a mediocre at best defense, he could carve him up. You could all of a sudden have a very different race here in the matter of 2, 3, 4 weeks when we start adding up some of the numbers.
I also think, look, Daniels has been the best quarterback. This is not to take away from him. And I'm sure people will hear this and get bothered somehow. But the Washington situation right now for a quarterback is the best. The offense is the best. The system design around the quarterback is the best. The coordinator is the sharpest, doing the best job. Like, first few weeks, Shane Waldron, borderline fireable.
Yeah, scuffled.
With
yep.
Jay Gruden coming on going, I don't know if this guy's going to keep his job. Whereas Cliff Kingsbury is just dialing it up.
Mm-hmm.
it's a really, really good offense. When Daniels wasn't a part of that Commanders offense against the Panthers, terrible defense, I understand, they go out and they score 30 points. They punted once all game. They kept moving the ball. They kept scoring. They kept putting up touchdowns. So is it clear that Daniels has had the best start to his career? Yes. And I just think it's too simple, and too many people take that and leap to, well, the Bears should have taken him or would have taken him. I don't think they would if they could redo it right now. My guess is they probably, assuming there's not something we don't know behind the scenes.
Of course, yeah.
About like Caleb Williams being annoying or a lot to deal with, or DJ Moore thinking he's a guy he doesn't want to kick it with on a Wednesday or whatever. Based just on the football part of it, I'll bet you they're happy. Just like Washington is ecstatic. They're giddy. By the way, the Commanders wouldn't trade Jaden Daniels for Caleb Williams. I'm just saying, I'm not sure the Bears would either. I don't. What about the Patriots? Are they looking at it going, man, we wish we had Jaden Daniels? Possibly. I'll bet they're pretty content. Their dude's balled out a couple times with crap all around him. I think it's one of those situations where
it's one of those rare times,
everyone's really happy. And it's also early, and maybe this will look funny in a month. If in a month the Bears have three duds in a row, Williams is struggling and on the verge of being benched, and you know Drake May is regressing and Jaden Daniels is still humming, maybe it's different and we look back at this conversation and we laugh at ourselves. But I think it's the best offense, the best situation, the best coordinator marriage with a quarterback. He's balling out. It's working really well. And I kind of want to fast forward a year and see where everything's at, to be honest. Because I feel like if we just look at the snapshot right now and think this is what it's always going to be, that's probably not the case. But let's pose this question to people next on the phones. We'll open them up at 800-636-1067. If the Bears could touch a button today and trade Williams for Daniels, do you think they would do it? You're listening to The Fan.